And welcome to another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm your host, Shay Wheat, founder of Grace and Ease Productions, where we support entrepreneurs just like you with event-based marketing and sales strategies, allowing you to build your authority, your credibility, and your visibility in your industry. And today's guest absolutely knows all of those things. I'm super excited to bring her on because, like, she's a pretty big deal, y'all. Just want to put that out there. And now she's probably blushing, but check this out. So Kelly Roach is one of the only female founders in the online space to build her company from 0 to 8 figures with no debt, investors, or outside funding. She's also a former NFL cheerleader and Fortune 500 executive turned eight-figure entrepreneur, empowering thousands, and I mean thousands, around the globe to achieve financial and lifestyle freedom through entrepreneurship. She's an 11-time international best-selling author, podcast host, has been featured in all of the major media such as the ABCs and the NBCs and the Fox and Forbes. She's won a number of awards, and this is one to tout, I think, number 287 on the Inc. 5000 list. So please help me welcome Kelly Roach to the Creating Powerful Impact stage. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited because, we're all about talking about impact and how are you creating impact in the world? And you've done a number of different things in your journey to get to where you are today. I would love for you to share with us, what is creating impact mean and look like for you?
Well, I mean, I think that each of us have been kind of blessed with a set of gifts to steward in the world, right? And I think that as entrepreneurs, especially if we have a service-based business, we've made the choice to kind of make sharing our gifts our vocation, right? And so, when I think about impact, I think about really dedicating your life to stewarding those gifts, to sharing those gifts with other people, to being of the highest level of service that you possibly can be with those things, and really to grow your income as a byproduct of the number of people that you impact. So, that's kind of my perspective on what that looks like.
I love that. I love that. And you yourself have impacted thousands of people through your books and your podcast and through your coaching and your training and your programs. But I would love to kind of step into a little bit of more the business and mindset piece of it, because going from 0 to 8 figures, where you start in the beginning and the mindset you have is probably completely different by the time you get to 8 figures. How do you like reinvent yourself and reinvent your business to really build it in a way that is in alignment with your goals and what you want to be doing in the world now, even if you've been in business for 5, 10 years?
Well, I think there's a couple different elements of that, right? So I think that, first of all, reinvention is a fundamental necessity if you want to stay in business for the long term and continue to grow. Just like innovation is a fundamental essential to be a leader in any space over time. And I think that planned reinvention is really important, especially for entrepreneurs, because I think of a lot of entrepreneurs that have been in business for a while, and there comes a time where you feel like the business no longer matches your vision, your desires, what you want to do with your time, your energy, maybe the business model that you want to operate in, or the things that you even want to teach on, or the structure of the programs that you want to deliver. And this is very natural, right? Because as you evolve as a person, of course, your perspective on how you want to show up and how you want to lead in business is going to evolve along with that. And a lot of times there's kind of this canyon that ends up growing between what an entrepreneur has built and then what an entrepreneur actually wants to do and be and experience, right? And so this is where reinvention comes in. It's having an actual strategy for how you take what you've built and you massage it and you evolve it and you iterate on it to take that as a stepping stone and really use that as a catalyst to take your business to the next level. And I think a huge mistake that I see all the time, and this is why I actually started speaking and teaching so much on the art and science of reinvention, is that I see entrepreneurs do the exact opposite. They burn it down or they blow it up. And they wait too long, and then they get to the point where they just resent the business. They don't like what they're doing anymore. And because they resent the business and they don't like what they're doing anymore, sales slow down. The business begins to struggle. The team is disengaged. The clients are leaving. And it's just this spiral effect. And what most entrepreneurs don't realize is that, like, you are the energetic source for your business. So when you get in that state, it doesn't matter how much you try to fake it until you make it. When there's that internal resistance happening, it's going to show in the results and performance of the business. So what I teach entrepreneurs is that you should have a planned reinvention and know that that's going to be a part of your strategy every 3 to 5 years, where you're going to catch the business up to you. Right? How you've evolved, how you've elevated, what you want to be spending your time, energy, and talent on. And when you do that, like I said, you can actually have each reinvention that you do be a huge re-entry point in the market that will actually drive sales and drive growth, versus what I see most people doing when they blow it up or burn it down, whereas like you kind of have to scramble and start over and you lose a lot of customers and you lose a lot of the market's attention in the process, because they can see that you're a mess, right? And they can see that you're making these panic pivots instead of this strategic, intentional decision to elevate forward.
Yeah. So many things just came out of that I want to make note of. The art and science of reinvention that happens, what did you say, every 3 to 5 years? And it's actually planned. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody actually plans a reinvention. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge takeaway for me right now. As I made some notes, I'm like, oh, okay. Because yeah. I mean, I plan events. I plan, yes. Like, what does that look like? I'm a planner.
Yes.
But I've never actually thought about planning a reinvention. So that's amazing.
Yeah. And can I give an example of that? Because I think it's really important what you're saying. And you're right. Most people don't think about planning a reinvention. And then it just happens. And it's like what I teach, and actually in the art and science of radical reinvention and the reinvention playbook, which we're going to give everybody that's listening for free. So there's going to be a link down below. I would never leave you hanging. Mm-hmm. I teach you the step-by-step process for doing this, but I'll give an example. I built my business, my first company, to 8 figures in the coaching and consulting world. I came from Fortune 500. I took everything that I learned as a business leader, running 17 locations, managing 100 people, building businesses there. And I started teaching it to small business owners so that they could apply those strategies and those systems in their businesses. So for a decade, I've been seen as a coach, right? I've been seen as a business strategist, which is great and it's fine and, you know, it's really good. But my ambition is to be seen as one of the top female business leaders in the world. And so my planned reinvention that I've been working on for multiple years now included me building out 5 other companies. I now have a portfolio of 6 companies in the entrepreneurial space. It included me building companies that don't use my face, my name, or my personal brand to run, that have their own leadership teams, that have their own brands, sellable assets, exitable companies. And so for multiple years now, I've been on this journey, and just even like next week, my personal brand website is going live. That's really separating me out from the businesses that I built. I went from my coaching and consulting company being called Kelly Roach Coaching, me, the coach, to the business advisory, a team of advisors that now coach and lead and work with our clients every day. So that planned reinvention for me is going to take 5 to 10 years to complete, right? But at the end of that, my goal and my vision is to have a 9-figure portfolio of companies and to really reposition myself in the market just as a business leader and mentor, not as a business coach in that singular fashion. And so that might help, like, you know, for some of the listeners, and maybe you're not looking at ambition in that way. Maybe you're right now you do a done for you service, and maybe you're feeling a little burnout on that and you're exhausted and you don't want to do a done for you service anymore. Maybe you want to become an agency owner and you want to go from you doing the work to having a team that does the work. And actually in the Reinvention Playbook, I give dozens of examples of both internal and external reinventions. And the reason why I say that it's planned, just to bring the conversation full circle, is to do this well and to do this the right way and to actually gain momentum in the market, there has to be a strategic marketing plan and branding assets developed and photography and communication, and you have to work with your team and work with your clients, and it allows you to elevate your authority and your positioning substantially in the market. And I've done probably 3 to 5 reinventions over my 10 years in the online space already. And I'm going to continue to do that as we go forward.
That's amazing. I love that. Okay. Definitely can't wait until we get the download. Yeah. But you mentioned something in there about, so in this reinvention, mm-hmm. as you're, you know, changing and adjusting yourself as a leader, there's got to be some like capacity, like growth within yourself. So you don't necessarily become the cap. Can you talk about how we don't hit our own glass ceiling?
Yeah, well, we do hit our own glass ceiling all the time, right? And actually, I'm going to give you another guide to link in the show notes down below, and it's called the Internal Shifts Guide. And it literally walks you through, when you are hitting your capacity, the internal shifts that you have to make to open up your capacity to shatter those glass ceilings. Because you're absolutely right. We are always the cap or we are the catalyst. Never anything in between. We're either the person that is the reason why we're taking the business to the next level, or we're the person that is the reason why we're not. And a lot of people think it's changing strategies constantly. Mm. 99% of the time, it's not about changing strategy. It's about elevating your capacity. It's about growing your leadership. It's about elevating your perspective, your patience, the way that you emotionally manage situations and developing more emotional control. So there's a lot to that, but you're absolutely right. And it's doing that work. It's doing that work on ourselves, and it's developing a daily practice around expanding your capacity.
Do you have any examples around kind of how to start expanding?
Yeah. I mean, it starts with awareness, right? So if you think about capacity, you think about like a pie. At the beginning of the day, the pie is full, right? You have a whole pie, right? And that's your energy for the day. And, you know, as soon as you kind of flip the lights on and check your phone in the morning, that capacity is getting dinged. Right? It's getting dinged from the moment that you wake up in the morning. And the truth of the matter is, as a business leader, I say this all the time, you're taking punches to the face probably by 9 a.m. every single day, right? So in order to build your capacity, you have to develop a practice of how much energy am I going to give to this situation versus this situation? Because what happens is, when we don't have awareness and emotional control over how much energy we're going to exert to react or respond or deal with this scenario versus that scenario, we give the same amount of energy to everything. And then what happens is, by 10 a.m., that capacity is gone, which means there is no capacity for long-term, big strategic moves, big thinking, innovation, elevated leadership, the things that are actually going to make those substantial and big leaps forward. They can only come about if you're able to preserve emotional capacity and preserve energy for that, which means that you have to develop more emotional control, that you're not going to spiral out every time you get the no pay notification, or you have the client issue come up, or the team thing, you know, whatever the case, because there's things that you can control and things that you can't control. There's a lot of things that come with being a business leader and being a business owner that they're just par for the course. Like, there's nothing you're going to do to outwork the everyday happenings of running a business, right? And of course, there are strategy pieces of that with how you staff your organization and how well run the operations are and all of that. But it starts with a daily practice of capacity building where you are raising your own awareness and you are intentionally deciding how much energetic control you are going to exert as situations arrive so that you can preserve capacity and really be able to pour into the big things that are not screaming in your face. They're not the 9 alarm fires. They're not the things that are going to be like punching and grabbing for your attention, but they're the things that are going to change the trajectory of your business and of your life. And if you look at the average person, they're down here. They're just swimming in transaction. They're swimming in putting out the fires. They can barely lift their head up. They're not thinking about this up here. They're mm-hmm. just dealing with this down here. And you have to be able to like climb that capacity ladder.
Yeah. What would you say for the listeners that are going, I get it. It makes sense. I know I have to be above the business, all of that, but they get pulled back into the nitty gritty of it, or that's the comfort zone of being like, well, that's how I started the business and I'm the one that knows how to do this. And let me just do it because it's going to be quicker for me to handle it. Like, how do you support somebody there?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to exit your zone of competence in order to expand and grow, period. And, you know, most entrepreneurs spend 20 to 30 hours a week working in the business on things that are an illusion of work because they're in avoidance of the work that makes them uncomfortable. That's the real work that they actually need to do that moves the business forward. So, I mean, it's really in the power of decision, right? Because you have to choose. There's a big distinction between putting a Band-Aid on the same issue over and over and over and over again because you don't have the bandwidth, you haven't made the space to invest in root cause solutions that create permanence in the business. And, you know, for a lot of entrepreneurs, they either don't have a team or they don't have the right team or they're not managing the team that they have well. And that's why they keep getting pulled back into those things over and over again. So if you're sitting here today and you find that to be the case, there is a foundational root issue that needs to be addressed. And, you know, I think that every entrepreneur has the story or excuse, I can't afford it, you're big, I'm small, you know, da 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 da. I started with unpaid interns in my business and, you know, I started with a VA that I paid for 1 hour a week and I focused all my energy and all my time on profit producing activities so that I could then afford to invest in starting to build my actual team so that I could really narrow into my zone of genius and be able to actually run the business and grow the business versus being caught up in the business. And that's just a choice that we all have to make because it's like you invest the money and then you have to commit to the accountability of repurposing your time into things that are then going to not just make that money back, but actually make a profit off of it. We're all capable of that. A lot of people don't want to take responsibility for that. And so they stay drowning. They stay drowning, right? But that's a choice. And we have to own that that's a choice, right?
Yeah, so very true.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing you say that there are systems, there are skills that are required, you know, to grow and to pull yourself out of it and the capacity for within yourself in order to, would you say, like, master the mental game of entrepreneurship? Is that what you would say?
I say that all the time. I say that all the time because it is a mental game.
Yeah.
You know, if I look at how we went from 7 to 8 figures in my first company, you know, it was the exact same strategy. Most people I know in their attempt to go from 7 to 8 figures, they change strategy 100 times. They never get there because all they're doing is starting over. The mastery is in the mental game of staying put, of executing, of iterating, of objectively looking at data and making decisions that are going to give you those unlocks along the way versus constantly starting over all the time. And this is one of the biggest problems with the online space. It's amazing. It's like this playground of unbelievable opportunity, but the average person can't handle it. I'm like, get offline, like get someone to post your content for you every day and like just don't even be on social because you're constantly constantly tempted to say, oh, let me try this, let me try this. Oh, this isn't working, this isn't working. And what you don't realize is every time you do that, you're starting over.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Well, and you also said the data. I'm shocked at how many entrepreneurs aren't tracking the data.
But they don't even look at the data. Everything's by feeling because we want to be in flow.
Right.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, most of those flow people, they're out of business now. You don't hear about them anymore. If you don't look at the numbers and you don't look at the numbers every day, you can't possibly make correct decisions. And I'm a big intuition person. I follow my gut a lot. I'm also a Christian person. So I pray a lot. I listen to my intuition a lot. I'm a big believer in like trusting your gut. However, it's a marriage. Right? Those things work together. Strategy and data plus intuition and prayer, those things work together to help you to unlock the extraordinary. And all of one and none of the other doesn't typically work out well.
Yeah. And I would guess that you also have team members that are like ops managers or integrators 100%. Or something like that, that support where you aren't maybe the strongest, that allows you still to be visionary, still to be intuition, still to be like, okay, and having somebody that is your second in command, that is like, yes, and here's the numbers. Let's look at it again. Do you really want to move this now? Or this was our
absolutely
plan?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a black belt Six Sigma in operations. We have an entire operations team in my company. And you know, this is the thing. I know everybody, not everyone listening has like a huge team, you know, but you can start with someone fractionally an hour a week. That's how I started a lot of roles that I have, you know, and I have smaller companies that are in the early stages that don't have all of that staffing and they don't have all of those layers. But you can start by just having someone like an hour a week to help you, whether it's with reporting or with it's with data scrubs or whether it's with optimizing how you're using your CRM or whatever the case, like you said, to just balance out, you know, knowing where you're strong and knowing where you need that support.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you from another perspective of creating impact, what worked best for you in reaching your audience to thus allow you to create even more impact in the world?
Being a service. You know, like this is the thing, like I say this all the time, it costs you nothing to care more and it's the best business strategy on the planet. And I've lived by that for, you know, my entire time being online. So, you know, when you ask that question, it's creating compelling content that adds value for people. It's getting out and serving and being in front of other people's audiences. I'm doing 7 podcasts today, you know, and I do podcasts on other people's platforms every single week. Why? Because as the CEO and the visionary behind my portfolio of companies, my responsibility is to introduce the brand that to people that don't know our name. So every week I'm introducing the brand to people that don't know our name, right? So, you know, first is content consistency and impact. Second is really leveraging other people's platforms to go out and serve and to share your gift, right? You know, and obviously I'm a huge proponent of having your own podcast. I have my own show as well. We have over 1,000 episodes. So that's a great way to make impact and to serve. And then advertising, right? Advertising is like the rocket fuel. Once you know your message and you're sharing and you're making an impact and you're serving, then pouring rocket fuel on that message by getting it out to more people by leveraging the power of advertising is like a 24/7 salesperson for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. Kelly, we could go on and on. And I know there's like so many other places that we could talk to. Maybe we'll have you come back and do some more specific type of episodes. But before I let you go, you mentioned there's a couple of gifts. Can you explain those gifts for our audience?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Thank you. So the Reinvention Playbook is literally exactly what it sounds like. It walks you through the thinking and design of reinvention, the planning process, the communication strategy, and then the step-by-step execution. So if you're an entrepreneur that feels like you're stuck in your business, you're feeling a little disconnected from what you're doing, you're not feeling the same spark, joy, excitement, and passion about what you're doing anymore, it might be time for either an up level, a reinvention, you know, or a pivot of some kind. And the playbook really helps you to crack that open and explore which of those things will be right for you, and helps you to understand the business model that you can choose, the changes that you can make, the impact that that will have, and really what could reinvention look like for you. So A to Z, like, it's 38 pages. It is nothing but goodness. Like, it's one of the best things I've ever put together. So that is linked down below and you can grab that for free. If you feel like you are hitting a ceiling with capacity, you always feel like you are stretched, you don't have bandwidth, you don't have energy, you're in a state of overwhelm constantly, the internal shifts guide is really about walking you through the five core internal shifts that you can make in your business and in your personal life, in the mental game of entrepreneurship, to elevate, expand, and grow as a leader without constantly changing strategy, constantly starting over, constantly feeling like you're chasing the next bright, shiny object. It's gonna help you to really, like, calm yourself down, get centered, get focused, really work on that daily practice of capacity building and the other associated changes that you'll need to really step into the next level of leadership in your business and in your life.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. So make sure you grab those links in the show notes. Last question for you is, what is a takeaway or memorable note you'd like to leave our audience with?
I think the biggest thing is just, really the power of focusing on growing your income as a byproduct of impact. That is the biggest thing I've learned. You know, I've been in the online space since 2012. I've seen so many people come and go. I've seen so many people rise and fall. I've seen so many brands as the rising star that implode and you never hear from them again. And the thing that has rung true for me and is the why behind our brands continuing to grow with certainty and confidence is just focusing on caring more, focusing on serving, focusing on impact. And if you have good intent and your follow through is strong, you will be able to grow your income and achieve your goals.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to thank our audience for joining us on another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm super excited for you to take, like, all of these lessons and resources that you've learned here, implement them, and create even more impact in your world. Until next time, have an awesome day. Thank you so much for listening to the Creating Powerful Impact podcast. If you are a successful coach, speaker, author, or thought leader who would like to be on this program, simply visit creatingpowerfulimpact.com/guest. If you are someone who got something out of this interview, would you please do me a favor and share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials. Also, if you know somebody that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Creating Powerful Impact. I love seeing all of your posts and great guest selections. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they really mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more about us? Head on over to our website, graceandeaseproductions.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Just look for Grace and Ease Productions on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.